Earth, sky.
Leadership and safety, that has to do with passion, really strongly committed, the respect for the people, enjoying to engage with the workers, enjoying to be on site with the workers, and also to have a good level of organization, to be able to manage a large group of people. But we had around 55,000 people coming through this project. In Singapore, we worked with people from Bangladesh, from India, from Myanmar, from the Philippines, from Thailand, from the People's Republic of China, some people from Indonesia. So it's a very diverse group.
You're listening to safety expert Sipka Minas, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science with a special program in partnership with Shell. Mr. Minas managed safety for the Shell Singapore Eastern Petrochemicals project, which involved modifications and new construction at petrochemical production plants in Singapore. Over the course of this project, the biggest of its kind ever, Shell employed more than 55,000 workers and contractors from Bangladesh, India, Myanmar, the Philippines, Thailand, the People's Republic of China, Indonesia, and it was Minas' job to keep all of these workers from these diverse cultures safe. He spoke about it with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Minas, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
You've been involved in ensuring safety in construction of one of the largest energy projects in the world. Two new world-scale chemical plants called the Shell Eastern Petrochemicals Complex, or SEPC. What were some of the biggest challenges to establishing a culture of safety at SEPC?
When we arrived there in 2007 at the early start of the construction, we realized that we had to start with a very low base level of safety knowledge and awareness among the contractors.
But you're talking about work prior to SEPC, right?
Right. Also, we found out that the commitment of contractor management for safety was not really sufficient to make this project a success. And thirdly, we found that there was a serious lack of people, qualified safety people in Singapore available to help us on this project. The project in Singapore consisted basically out of three large sub-projects on three different islands. And what was done, the feed from the Pulau Bukom refinery of Shell in Singapore was brought to another island and converted into a product which was brought to a third island, which was converted in a product which is then saleable into the market. Each island, each project has a slight different culture because each of the islands is managed by different teams. And safety cultures, of course, are an aspect of the type of people who are in the team and the type of contractors who are on the team. You can't have identical safety cultures when you have two different groups working.
What would you say is the key to understanding those people that you work with, including the contractors, in achieving safety results?
Key is genuine interest in the guys who use their hands on the tools and do the work for us. It's the daily engagement you have with the guys and try to understand what makes them tick. This respect for the guys and to work hard with your team to create an environment where of respect and workers' welfare. That you look after their accommodation, that you look after the quality of their meals, that you look after their health and general welfare. We manage that around five focus areas. The first one is what we already talked about a little bit, was on leadership. The other important area is training. When you get such a large workforce coming through your project in a period of 3 years, you have to put enormous effort into training. In addition to training, you have to communicate and communicate very well and communicate consistently with the workforce about the hazards, but also about the rules you have on your project. So on this project, we focused first of all on leadership. And leadership starts with target setting. Early in the project, we agreed that we wanted to be among the 10% best of Shell in the previous 5 years. But also, we'd made a check on a global basis with major contractors. What has been the 10% best among major projects from other major oil companies? That came with certain parameters. And we used targets which are the 10% best of the world. And that was extremely helpful for the project because the moment we came close to the target or we drifted slowly over the target, I really was able to attract the attention of management and got all people standing behind me to get that right and to work extremely hard on site with the workers, with the contractors, to reverse, say, a downward trend and to bring us back to that challenging target. So target setting has been very, very helpful. And also, of course, is that you need a personal commitment. You need a personal belief that you can make it. And say, a really committed person brings an energy, a passion, an excitement that it's very difficult to generate that when you're just compliant or pedestrian. It is the daily energy, the will to get there early in the morning, to be with the guys on site at 7 o'clock and join them in their, say, toolbox meeting. That is what I call, say, passion for the commitment for the job to get it right.
These toolbox meetings that you described to us, what are they exactly? Are they really just about tools in the box? What is a toolbox meeting?
A toolbox meeting is normally held on site, so near the place where the workers have to do, say, the welding, the grinding, installing a steel structure. And they do two things. They discuss general safety, and then further, in a smaller group, normally not more than 10, they discuss the job they're going to perform that day and what are the hazards of that job and what kind of precautions do you take to prevent anything bad happening, and what kind of safety gear do you need? What is the sequence of activities to make sure that part of the installation is done in a safe way? A toolbox meeting takes normally 15, 20 minutes. And so the guys coming through the gate, they go, they get dressed, they get ready, they go to the toolbox meeting, their mindset is ready for safety, and then after toolbox meeting, with the right mindset, with the right instructions, the right information, they start with the job. When there is a significant change in the work environment because of a rainstorm has come in and things have become slippery, then we have another toolbox meeting and talk about the change in the hazards. Some jobs change very fast in the type of hazards, like doing a major lift, and then in the course of the major lift, so when you lift a piece of equipment of 500 tons, you do several toolbox meetings. So when you start with the preparation, put on the slings, you do a toolbox meeting, and then when the vessel column is hanging in the sling, you do another toolbox meeting, and then when you swing it, you do it another toolbox meeting. So every time, everybody's completely aware of the hazards and the precautions, safety precautions to be taken to prevent anything happening.
I imagine in your experience that you probably saw some changes in people happening out in the field there. What were some ways you found that really clicked with people in changing their minds on safety for the better?
You start off with a lot of skeptical people around you, but by, say, personal demonstration of management, by celebrating early successes, by showing people, yes, we can do it. It is really possible to do a project with an extremely low number of injuries, to do a project with a very excellent safety record. That people start to believe it. People start to come on board and start become working with you. But also, early in the project, you want to create that passion with more people than the few who have got it. And that you can do through storytelling. And what we did early in this project, we invited contractor managers, the senior managers of the major contractors, into a workshop. And we did some storytelling. Storytelling about serious incidents where people were personally involved in. Personal stories, how they experienced that accident, how they experienced the aftermath of the accident. And do that in a passionate and emotional way. Then you get that click with people that, hey, there's some value to look after other people, to really look after our brothers in construction, to look after the people who work with their 10 fingers on our construction projects. There are a lot of people who only get that passion after a major incident, once they have experienced it. The trick is to get that passion in the project much, much earlier. And I like people, and I do respect the people who come to work on a construction job. These guys coming from all places, from many different places in the world, they come there to do a job, to do a good job. But they want to go back home to their families as healthy as they arrived with us. and hopefully somewhat richer. Rich in experience, but also richer financially.
You've been listening to Sipka Minnas, Senior Health, Safety and Environment Manager for Shell. The Shell Singapore Eastern Petrochemicals Project broke safety records. Nearly 40 million hours worked without injury. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.